Clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner joins us once a month here on News Talk 620 WVMT. You can also hear her weekends on WVMT. Check our schedule on the website, newstalk620wvmt.com. Dr. Ellen Kenner, also the author. Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Yes.
Congratulations, the book is out.
The book is out and it's in my hands. And
beautiful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, it's a strange feeling, Lisa, because my co-author and I, Ed Locke, worked on it for 8.5 years. That's a long time.
Now what are you
going to
do?
now we're going, oh, you mean with my life? I'm dancing, honey. No, I've got plenty, but it's strange. I still don't feel like I can throw away all of the loose papers I have on the mm-hmm. floor and everything that was involved with writing the book, but probably in another few months I'll be able
What's
to toss
about?
It all out.
Doctor.
It's romance. It's how to make a relationship work where people don't feel resentful towards one another, where it feels like it's a partnership of equals. Like, it's not that the wife is always doing for the husband or the husband is always doing for the wife. It's that they both learn how to make themselves into people that they admire. Because if you don't do that, how are you going to have a romance? And how to cherish each other?
Well, could you take some of that advice and even use it in other parts of your life, not just romantic?
You want to cherish Ernie?
Oh, that's my next one. Yes, I could cherish Ernie and Charlie and you, Lisa. Yeah. Oh, yes. You know, the principles that apply to romance apply to everything in your life, whether it's finding a job, whether it's parenting. I mean, parents can, a husband can be sarcastic and mean to his wife, and he can be sarcastic and mean to the kids. A wife can lie to the husband, and a wife can lie to her kids. So, or at work. So it's basically, how do you make yourself lovable? How do you make yourself into a person that you admire? And that's an ongoing task for all of us. And when I
how
say,
how do you do that without being fake? You know, I mean, being true to yourself. If somebody really is, you know, they're a jerk. I mean, and that's the way they are. To do otherwise, they're kind of, it's like they're acting, aren't they?
Many people play act, or many people feel they have to fake being nice, and that is one of the killers of romance. Whatever you want, honey. Yeah, no, it's okay with me. I'm telling you, it's okay. I don't mind. And you get this, the person listening to that, you can hear that I'm not sincere.
Guys know that specifically.
I would imagine at some point that all has to come to a head and the person just blows.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's exactly what happens, Lisa. People hold in the resentment. No, you know, it's better. You can't fight City Hall. I'll do whatever she wants, or I'll do whatever he wants. And yeah. And then, they've got this pressure cooker inside of them that just wants to explode. And at a certain point, the other person crosses the line, and the other person might have done nothing wrong. The other person might have said, where do you want to eat tonight, honey? And it's like, Chinese again? You know, the person that's been faking niceness blows up, and that sabotages relationships, because you need to be able to talk about what's on your mind, and you need to be honest in the moment, and your frustration or irritation needs to be proportional to the situation that's going on right now, not caked up over a lifetime or not caked up over 5 or 7 years of a marriage.
Hopefully they blow up before they get to the restaurant. That would be good, you know, right at the restaurant. You decide, you know, I didn't really want to come here. It was your idea to come here.
Right. No, I once saw a guy blow up at a restaurant when the other couple, the husband wanted to take the bill, and this guy it was such a control issue. He says, "I'm paying." Now, if you're sitting with people and somebody's screaming, "I'm paying," and you're the wife, and I mean, is this a romantic relationship? And do the friends like him, or are the friends afraid of him?
I wouldn't be afraid. Let him pay.
Let him pay.
Right.
No argument here.
Well, you've got my husband with smiles all over the place now.
You want to pay? Be my guest.
Yeah, sure.
But that's a control issue, isn't it? Now you feel indebted to him because he paid your damn bill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a relaxing evening with friends. So the whole book is focused on how to value yourself. And that's why it's got the very provocative title, The Selfish Path to Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason. And it's really about cherishing yourself and each other, not about self-sacrifice and not about a me-only approach where it's my way or the highway or go take a hike or manipulating one another. It's about cherishing.
Isn't argument or arguments, aren't they good, though? You know, in a relationship?
Healthy ones are wonderful. I mean, if you have good communication skills, that's the best gift you can give to one another, because you're always going to differ. You're going to differ on the color you want to paint the bedroom. You're going to differ on where you want to live, how you want to raise your kids, how to spend the money. You're going to differ all over the place. If you can talk about it and come and learn how to lovingly compromise, You won't have much of a problem. I mean,
that's the key, Ellen. One of the parties always, there has to be some compromise. You have to give in. Otherwise, you can argue till you're blue in the face. If somebody has to give a little bit,
so I 100% agree with you.
Little, or should one side give and then it's the other party's turn to give the next time?
Absolutely. There are many ways of compromise, and we list them in our, we name them, some of them in our book. It can be your turn this time, my turn the next time. You'll have Italian food tonight, you'll have next time we'll go to a Chinese restaurant, or it can be let's get takeout from both, a little bit of each. You know, you can my vacation this year, yours next year, or we'll split it up, or we'll do none of the above, we'll find a different vacation that we both like. It can be not A, B, but C. So there are wonderful methods of compromise that are clearly outlined that people typically don't know about. And if they don't speak up, if they're emotionally repressed, if they're not comfortable saying what they feel, if they're not comfortable with some negative emotions, anger or guilt, and they don't know how to express them properly, there's blood all over the place, relationship blood.
So, Ellen, in your book, do you at all talk about or help people out that are perhaps they're getting into a relationship and maybe there are some markers that come up and this relationship is destined to not be a good one? You shouldn't stay together.
Oh, yeah, there are definitely relationship breakers. You know, you learn about, if you can think about back to your own dating years, you learn about a person in layers. You know, you're with them one moment and they're cracking a joke that seems really nice, and the next moment their humor seems to turn a little dark and you raise an eyebrow and say, oh my God, I've got to watch out for this. Maybe this tells me about something about the person. But then they hold the door open for you, or they go out of their way to do something nice for you, and then the next minute they're snapping at a waitress because she didn't give them their fork in time.
Sounds like Ted Bundy.
So you're learning. You here they might call their boss some names, maybe the names are earned, but just the idea of a lot of sarcasm or name calling, or you're learning about a person in layers, and there are definitely deal breakers in relationship, and one of them is anger, that unjustified anger. I don't mean appropriately expressed anger. You know, I felt furious when I went out of my way to make this cake for your family, and you made fun of me in front of everybody. You know, that's okay. You can say something like that. You're not attacking the person. You're saying how you felt. I felt furious. But to say, you are such a jerk, you're such an idiot, that's not going to work well. So the things that are deal breakers are dishonesty. If you catch the person in lies, you know, they cheated on you while you're dating.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. If they tell white lies, even, you have to, that's that faking niceness.
Ellen, why do some couples choose to stay together? You know, you see this oftentimes in cases of physical abuse.
Oh, right.
The couple will stay together.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, the signs couldn't be any more clear than that. It's time to move on.
Well, it seems like some people, everyone around them can see the issues, but
they
themselves can't.
Yeah.
And they do know it on levels. You know, I've worked with so many abused partners, male and female, mostly female, but there are male ones that come in too. And the main problem with abuse is that the abuser sometimes buys into the view that they are unlovable. They don't have the courage. They don't have the skills to fight the battle. And it takes a certain quality within them to fight the battle, to fight for their own happiness. They may feel that they may be living in terror. They may feel that their safety is at risk. The perpetrator may have guns, or they may be escalating. You know, the perpetrators don't always start with a gun or with a fist in the mouth, a fist to the face. Perpetrators typically start with just put-downs, small put-downs, and then dirty looks, and it just keeps escalating. So that person needs to make themselves lovable. But the person who's being abused needs to gain the courage that they are a decent person, assuming that they are, and see the facts for that and learn how to be their own best advocate. And that's what I teach in therapy to abuse partners. And they eventually get the courage, hopefully, and they have in many cases, to stand up to the partners. But they're also very afraid of changing, because they're used to the world of living with the abusive partner. And the devil is better than going out on your own. And maybe you have a kid too. Maybe you will end up being a single parent. And that's scary stuff. You may feel financially tied. You may feel like you'll upset your family or friends. Maybe your family threw a very big wedding for you. And you may have had some good moments with the perpetrator, and you just keep hoping he or she will change. So you may be afraid to split up, because if you have children, you're afraid that the perpetrator will get custody, because they're going to portray you as a weak, meek, awful, or a neglectful or whatnot parent, abusive parent yourself, and you don't know how to fight the battle.
So the book's out just 2 days out now. It's available on Amazon.
Right. No, it's been out for a little while longer. We were out of town, so we got it late. We had to dig through snow to find the boxes with the book in it, and we're very, very happy with it.
Best of luck. Great idea for Valentine's Day coming up. Amazon.com. You can check it out there, and a website up soon.
Selfish. It's called selfishromance.com. And the book is The Selfish Path to Romance, How to Love with Passion and Reason, and it's based on the ideas of Ayn Rand. And it's with my co-author, Ed Locke.
All right. Well, good luck with the book, Dr. Kenner. Good talking with you this morning.
Okay, and I will send you guys a copy.
We look forward to it. Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, take care. 8:33 on News Talk 620 WVMT. Dr. Ellen Kenner. You can also catch your weekends here on WVMT. We break for some headline news along with...